In Acts chapter 16, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's with Silas on this missionary journey. And he comes to the place that Adam read about in our scripture reading, a place called Troas. And at that place, Paul has a vision. They had tried to go several different places, all the different cities that Adam read about, and God sort of shut the door on them. And then while they were at this place called Troas, Paul had a vision. And in this vision, the Bible says, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw this man. And this man said, Paul, we need your help. We need you to come over here and help us. And Paul, as you can read in the rest of the chapter there, he immediately goes to that part of the world. He goes to the principal city of Macedonia, a city called Philippi. He starts a wonderful church in the city of Philippi, and that church did some great things for God. Now, this morning, I just want to use that little story as an introduction to my message. I want to preach on the subject, a cry for help. A cry for help. In this vision, Paul saw a man of Macedonia crying for his help, crying for Paul to come and preach Jesus in that area of the world. And throughout the Bible, there are many, many people that have cried out for help. And this morning, I want to just mention five of them, and I want to use their stories to paint a picture of what every single person needs to do as they come to Christ. What every single sinner, many in this room have already done it. Many of this room in this room have already made the journey that I'm going to talk about this morning. But I never get tired of telling the old story to those who know it best, because they love it just like everybody else. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to just pay attention to the picture I'm going to paint with these five people that all cried out to God, cried out to Jesus for help. The first one is a man that had leprosy, a leper man, I'll call him. His story is in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says there, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We've talked about leprosy before. It was a disease that was common back in the day of Jesus. It was a disease that had no cure. It was a disease that ate away at your body. I mean, it would just eat at different pieces of your body, and your fingers would fall off, and your toes would fall off, and your ears and the extremities of your body would fall off. You would have open sores, and from those sores would run pus and blood as your body fluids would just leak out of the places where your skin had rotted away. As a leper, you were an outcast. You could not live with your family. You could not live with your friends. You lived on the outside of the city. And as a leper, if anybody approached you, you had to put your hand, and usually you had a rag that you wiped your sores with. You held that rag over your upper lip, and you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, to give the person that was approaching you warning. What this leper, that and this man was full of leprosy. I can just imagine in my mind what that meant. His body was just eaten away with this disease. And he came to Jesus, the Bible says, and he fell on his face before Jesus, and he says, I need your help, and if you will, you can help me. And what this leper was saying to Jesus is, look, I'm an outcast. I have no hope. There's no medicine that can make me well. There's no doctor that can make me well. My body is rotting away. I am full of this disease, and I can do nothing to help myself. But Jesus, if you will, you can help me. You see, that leper describes every one of us at one time or another, and maybe some people that are here. It does a pretty good job of describing what we are as a sinner. We are outcast from God. Our sin separates us from God. We were made to fellowship with God, but sin came in and broke up that relationship with us. And we are outcast from Him. We are dirty. Our sin makes us dirty and stands us before God condemned because of that sin. And we have no hope. There is nothing that we can do to overcome the sickness of sin that we had in our bodies, no more than a leper could do anything to overcome the disease of leprosy. He came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, if you will, you can help me. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Second man that cried out for help that I'll introduce you to this morning was a blind man named Bartimaeus. We find his story in Mark chapter 10. And as he went out of Jericho, as Jesus went out of Jericho, blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway begging. Begging. Here was a man that lived his life in darkness. Here was a man that lived his life not being able to see anything. I mean, he had to grope through life. He had to feel his way through life. His life was the same routine. Every morning somebody would lead him to the side of the road. He would spend the day begging for a few pennies. And then somebody at the end of the day would lead him home. On this particular day, it was different. He heard a commotion in the streets and he asked somebody, hey, what's going on? What's all the noise about? What's the hubbub about? And somebody said, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by and there's a great crowd with him. And the Bible says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And what he was saying is, Jesus, I need your help. Nobody else can help me, but you can. Jesus, help me, help me, help me. He was in darkness and he needed to see. You see, these two men do a good job describing what we were and what you may be as sinners. As a sinner, I am an outcast from God. As a sinner, I stand before God filthy. All my righteousnesses that I can offer up, the book of Isaiah says, in God's sight, are as filthy rags. And I am blind. I am blind to the spiritual truth that I need to see. I am in spiritual darkness. Unless somebody leads me, I cannot see the way to Christ. And Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, help me, help me. And the crowd said, oh, shut up. He ain't got time for you. He's on a mission. He's busy. He doesn't have time to help a poor old beggar. Doesn't have time to help a poor old blind man that can't see. And I'm glad that Bartimaeus wasn't dissuaded by the crowd. I'm glad that Bartimaeus didn't believe the lie of the world that says Jesus doesn't have time to help the people that need him. Because he kept crying and Jesus heard his voice and he went over to Bartimaeus and he says, what will that I should do unto thee? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And this blind man who sat in darkness got up that day seeing as well as anybody else could. Amen. You see, those two men again describe what we are, were or are as sinners. We are an outcast from God. We stand before God filthy, just like the leper was filthy. We sat there in darkness, spiritual darkness, not being able to see the one that can help us. The cry continues. I'll introduce you to a third man. I'll call him a confused man. His story is in Acts chapter 8. He was an Ethiopian eunuch, a treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. He had been to Jerusalem to a religious meeting. He was seeking God. And he went to Jerusalem, the place where the temple was, the place where the Jews worshiped God. And he said, if I could just get there, maybe I can find out what I'm looking for. Maybe I can fill this empty spot that's in my heart and in my soul. I know there's something missing in my life. I just can't figure out what it is. It's got to be God. And I'll go to Jerusalem and find it. He went to Jerusalem and he didn't find it. He was coming back in his chariot and he was reading from Isaiah. Where the Bible says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Wonderful words, the Ethiopian eunuch said, but I don't understand them. I don't understand what they mean. I think they hold the key to what I'm looking for, but I just can't figure out how to put it all together. Philip was led there by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, he said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip went near and heard the Ethiopian eunuch reading, and he just asked the question. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I understand unless some man lead me? I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I think I know it's what I need, but I need help. I need help. Can you help me? And Philip got up in that chariot with him, and he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And you know the rest of the story. The Ethiopian received Christ, and he said, hey, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, you can, as long as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he came to die for your sins. And he stopped and baptized him. But that Ethiopian eunuch adds to the picture that we're painting of what we once were. We were an outcast. We were filthy in our sins in God's sight. We were blind. We were in spiritual blindness. We could not see what we needed. And we could not understand what we needed. We knew we were missing something. I mean, before I got saved, I knew there was something missing in my life. I knew there was something that I had to have. I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was confused, and so was every sinner that's in spiritual blindness. They know they need something, but they need some help to figure out what it is. The cry continues. We go to Mark chapter 9. Jesus and three of his disciples are up on the mountain. Jesus was transfigured before him. He just turned white and glowed. Moses and Elijah was there, and they talked to Jesus. Cloud overshadowed that mountain, and a voice came from that cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Peter was one of the three disciples that was there, and he said, hey, this is good. I like this. Let's just make three houses, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and let's just stay here. I don't want to go back down there. I just want to stay up here. It's good up here. And Jesus said, nope, I'm not done answering the people that are crying out for help. Not done yet. You see, down at the bottom of the mountain, there was a dad, and he had a son, and that boy was possessed by a devil. And the dad came to Jesus as he came down from the mountain. He said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he turneth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And what his father said to Jesus, he said, we need your help. We need your help. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Help us. Here's what Jesus said to that father. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the Bible says straightway the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I believe, but would you help my unbelief? And what that dad was saying to Jesus is, I think you can do it. That's why I brought my son to you. But my faith is weak, and I need you to help make it stronger. You see the picture that we're painting of what we once were? We were outcast from God, filthy in his sight. We were in spiritual blindness. We couldn't see which way we needed to go. We were confused. We didn't understand the things of God. And we had a little bit of faith that God deals to every single person. But we need help from God for that faith to grow. The last man that cried out for help, his story is in Luke chapter 23. It was on a hill outside of Jerusalem. There were three crosses on that hill. On the two of them, on the outside two, hung criminals. On the middle cross hung an innocent man. Yes, he'd been taken to trial, but it was a mockery of a trial. He'd been found guilty, but of crimes that he did not commit. In fact, the only crime that they found him guilty of, I guess he was guilty, because the crime was that he said he was the Son of God. And he was guilty of that crime. He was the Son of God. They'd beaten him. They'd pulled his beard out of his face. They'd crowned him with a crown of thorns. They'd taken a whip of cat of nine tails, they called it, and lashed his back and tore his back open, and it was open and bleeding. He carried the cross. They nailed him to that cross. And he hung there between two criminals. One of the criminals began to rail on him and said, "Hey, if you're really the Christ, then you can help us. Get us down off this cross." Mocking him. The other thief, who earlier in the day had done the same thing, had a change of heart. It's going to be interesting when we get to heaven to talk to that man to see what it was that changed him. Was it when Jesus looked down at those that crucified him and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Was it when Jesus looked down from the cross and saw Mary, his mother, and John, the disciple he loved, and he asked John to take care of his mother? I don't know what it was, but something that day changed that thief. Because when his partner in crime began to mock Jesus, he said this, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What he was saying to Jesus is, "I need your help to get to heaven. I'm about to die. And if I'm going to go to heaven, I got to have your help. You see, I don't have time to turn over a new leaf. I don't have time to live a good life. I don't have time to undo all the bad things I've done and outweigh them with good things. I don't have time to do that. I'm going to be dead in a few minutes. I don't have time to join the church. I don't have time to get baptized. I don't have time to take the Lord's Supper. I don't have time to do any of that. I'm going to die in a few minutes. Jesus, you're the only hope that I have for heaven. And when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me?" Now, these five men paint a picture for us this morning of what we went through if we're saved. We were an outcast from God, filthy in his sight because of our sins. We were spiritually blind. We could not see the one that we needed help from. We were confused. Yeah, maybe we'd been read the Bible and maybe somebody tried to explain it to us, but we couldn't grasp it. We knew we were missing something, but we couldn't grasp it. We couldn't grasp it. We needed our faith strengthened. Until finally that day when the darkness was cut aside and our understanding was enlightened, and we came to the only one that could help us, Jesus Christ. And we prayed a prayer just like this thief did on the cross. And we said, "Lord, it's not my goodness. It's not my goodness. It's not my church membership. It's not my good deeds. It's not the things that I can do. I know I'm a sinner and I know I'm separated from you because of that sin. And the only hope that I have is if you do something for me. If you get me to heaven." And just like that thief on the cross who Jesus turned to that day and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today we're going to go to heaven. Not just me, both of us are." There was a day in our life, if you're a Christian, where you made that same confession. "Jesus, it's you. It's nothing else. It's not anything that I can do. It's what you did for me on Calvary that can get me to heaven. And I'm crying out for your help to get me there. There's many in this room that have already done it. You can look back to a time in your life where you made that cry to Jesus. Praise God you did. Thank God that you did. Thank God he took you from being an outcast and made you a part of the family. Thank God he took you from being in spiritual blindness and opened your eyes that you can see. Thank God that he gave you the understanding to understand that you were a sinner and that Jesus died for you as an individual. And he increased your faith, enough faith to believe that if you ask him, he would save you. Many people in this room this morning are on their way to heaven because they made that transaction. Now, if you're here today and you're not, you need to do the same thing. There's nothing that you can do. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you're here this morning, I'd ask you to consider what Christ did for you. We pictured it in the Lord's Supper. We've sung about it. We've talked about it. Would you this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come and make the same confession that the thief on the cross did? Lord, I have no hope for heaven apart from you. I believe you died for me, and I ask your help to save me. If you do that this morning, he'll save you. He'll save you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that you paint its picture in so many ways in this book. I pray if there's just one here this morning that's never received Christ as their Savior. I know there's been several distractions this morning, and I know that sometimes it's Satan works awful hard on people to not get them to listen. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit can cut through all that this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit can talk to that leper, blind, confused, with a little bit of faith, but whose faith needs strengthening, and they can come to the one who did everything that needed to be done for them. They can come to Jesus. Man, woman, boy, girl, first time, second time, many times here, it doesn't make any difference. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, today would be the day they decide for him. If there's Christians here that you've spoken to about something else, maybe about baptism, maybe about church membership, I pray that they'd be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. Bless this time of invitation. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.